All right, well, let me jump on in here to the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. As always, I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way daily monologue brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute, but he is a sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every day. So let me just start by saying, if you haven't already noticed anything about me, I'm a planner by nature, all right? I'm even a list maker. Like sometimes when life seems to be getting the upper hand, it actually makes me feel better to sit down and create an updated to-do list. And when I'm really grooving, I'll even make that list and then rank order the things that have to be done and set my priorities on the list. I've started or helped start multiple businesses, and I've learned early on to do a full SWOT analysis, they call it, to examine the business case in light of strengths and weaknesses and obstacles and threats. When I go to court as an attorney, I try to have an actual litigation plan with the desired end state in mind for my client that comes from having researched the law to know our position before I ever appear in front of the judge. And part of that's just me. I mean, I've taken tests to determine what my gifts and talents are supposed to be. Mine have always come out as leadership and administration, which basically means I like to plan. And I was trained in the Army to conduct detailed planning. I mean, every operation, every mission, every training event. Before I took my team downrange in Afghanistan, I had to do a complete brief back to my higher-ups to lay out the plan for everything from daily operations to escape and evasion. Now, granted, not every plan survives first contact with the enemy. That's the old truth. If you don't plan at all, though, well, you know what happens. The old adage is that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. There's also another old saying that from an unknown source, but I've heard it many times, it says, when making a plan, remember, the enemy gets a vote. So the first saying, the one about failure to plan is a plan to fail, well, that clearly means that if we don't think things through, if we don't arrive on the scene with a well-thought-out plan with contingencies and logistics and timelines, then we're just dooming ourselves to an increased likelihood of failure, or at least mediocrity. But the other saying means that as surely as we are making our plans, the enemy is also making theirs as well. In other words, when bullets start flying, the enemy has a say in the final outcome. We better remember that. Well, maybe that's why I'm watching with increasing discomfort right now, as the state of Alabama seems to have no real legislative agenda. It's like there's no plan. No intended end state, no understanding, no list, no analysis. I mean, surely that's not true, but wow. Look, I'm going to talk about it in more detail later, but all we've been given so far is that when the regular session starts today, like right now, as we speak, they're going into session 2 p.m. on Tuesday, February 4th, today. All we've been given thus far is a set of principles, the good ideas, basically. And yeah, those principles are extremely important. I mean, you have to know what you stand for before you can truly take meaningful action. But y'all, the session kicks off today, and we don't even have any idea what their legislative priorities are right now. And when that happens, what it means is anything can happen. In the absence of mission priorities and task organization, the unit can flounder around on the battlefield because they don't have their priorities in place. So if the Speaker of the House and the pro tem of the Senate need to tell the world, then I would say, in a cohesive and well-thought-out manner, what the priority legislation will be. After all, they are the elected representatives of the people. So let me ask y'all, do you know what the priority bills are? Neither do I, and I make a living trying to know these things. You know, back in the military side again, in military planning, every young officer is taught to write and disseminate what's called a five-paragraph operations order. You clearly outline the mission, the enemy situations. You enunciate your commander's intent, the intent of the next higher headquarters. You specify what the subunit tasks are, the command and signal, the key timelines, all of it. Look, I'm giving you a rough version, but suffice to say, it was an orderly and cogent means of helping to guide leaders with the ultimate purpose being laid out clearly in mind. There's a mission. Here's my part. Here's what I expect from my own troops. Here's what is expected of me. In the dissemination of the order, you also have certain priorities in how you tell people about it, one of which is called the one-third, two-thirds rule. That basically means every commander ought to strive to give one-third of his time to planning and then two-thirds of the mission prep to his own subordinates so they can do their planning. And then the ultimate rule is in preparing for the mission. There's the old saying that at a minimum, you always practice the actions on the objective. That means that if nothing else, If nothing else at all, You're going to make a plan, and you're actually going to try and walk through, talk through, run through the actual fight as best you can. So yeah, having said all that, I'm a planner by nature. But the American people, they deserve a plan. The people of Alabama, we deserve a plan. Stop telling us that you're going to get something nice done. Tell us what you're going to do specifically. Tell us what you're going to achieve. Tell us how it impacts us if we do or if we don't. Is there a doctrine? Sure. Is there a serious analysis? Okay. Is there a plan? The fact that I'm having to ask that speaks volumes. Now, look, you can easily apply that notion of good prior planning to the legislature. Seriously, you can. I'll give you two examples, one of which I was proud to be a part of. The first one, I remember former Speaker Newt Gingrich leading the charge into the midterms with the Contract with America, they called it. It was an actual plan of all the things they were going to be committed to achieve if the people would give the Republicans in D.C. a majority. It was part of the plan that swept Republicans and conservatism into an opportunity for real change. One historical accounting of it says it this way. It says that the Contract with America was introduced 6 weeks before the 1994 congressional elections, the first midterm election of Bill Clinton's administration. Signed by all but two of the Republicans, meaning that the vast majority of them actually put their names on it, y'all. How's that? Proponents of the contract say it was revolutionary. It actually offered a specific list of legislation that they were committed to bring into the floor. And they signed their names to it. You know what happens when you sign your name to it? It creates actual accountability. That's why they so often don't do that. Well, the Contract America, it was based on principles, yes, but it also told everybody what the bills were going to be. And it represented the view of many conservative Republicans on the issues of things like shrinking the size of government, lowering taxes, greater entrepreneurial activity, tort reform, welfare reform, all of it. And man, did it work. They announced that they had a plan and what the specific bills were going to be. And y'all, the 1994 elections in the U.S. House and Senate resulted in 54 gained House seats and 9 U.S. Senate seats. They flipped both chambers. The Contract with America was seen as a triumph by the party leaders. I'm just telling you, you see it? It was a plan. People rally around a plan. Well, we saw the same thing here in Alabama in 2010, when many of us, including myself, we ran for the first time on an agenda that we called the Handshake with Alabama. Speaker Mike Hubbard, Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh, Governor Bob Riley, several allies in the field, and all of us as candidates for the House and Senate, we collectively promised the citizens of Alabama that if they would elect the first ever Republican majority to the Alabama State House, that there was a list of things that we would accomplish on their behalf. And we all signed on to it. And we all campaigned on it. And we took the Alabama State House majority into the red zone for the first time in 136 years by campaigning statewide on that plan. There's a book written about it. It's called Storming the State House. You ought to check it out. Other states even copied the plan. It was so good. So yes, plans matter. Plans unify people. Plans also breed success because they give focus and they maintain direction. And a lack of a plan is nothing but a plan to fail. But the enemy gets a vote. Yes, they do. When shots ring out soon enough, they start flying in both directions, don't they? Yes, they do. Don't think for a minute that Democrats are going to sit idly by and just let Republicans have their way. Democrats are making their own plans. How do we nullify progressive influence? How do we galvanize grassroots support for when times get dicey politically? How is it that we keep the caucus focused when there's different versions of Republicans, all of whom become the targets of the left when they cast their votes on the plan? I'm telling you, the plan is part of the focus. It tells people what to expect. It rallies the troops. And the 2025 legislative session starts today. Today. Alabama's elected representatives and state senators are gathering in full today for the opening roll call. They're about to really get to work. On what? What is the plan, Republicans? Is there a plan? Give us something to rally around. Because the enemy gets a vote, so it better be a good plan. But the old adage remains, a failure to plan, that's a plan to fail. And right now, we don't see a plan. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.